Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This series of Caravan of Garbage is brought to you by Loot Crate, the monthly subscription box of geek items and things. Yeah, here's one I'm going to recommend. Loot Crate DX.
Interesting.
Which is the crate of premium exclusive items every month. 4 to 6 items for the pop culture connoisseur. That's me. A fancy man. A fancy Dan. $100 plus of retail value, lifestyle gear, premium apparel, exclusive collectibles.
Correct.
You can go to lootcrate.com/weeklyplanet. You get $3 off any box.
That's a promise from me to you, from both of us to you.
Yeah.
Both of us promising things.
To both
things.
Of you, both of the people listening to this. That's our promise. Hey everybody, it's the Weekly Planet's Caravan of Garbage. I'm Nick Mason.
I'm James, Mr. Sunday Movies.
And this is a little mini podcast where we are going to sift through the bargain bin of entertainment media and find some...
not so entertaining media.
In a way, that's exactly what we're going to do, yeah. So this is my first episode. This is my first go at this.
Yeah.
So the last little while we've had some DC's... This is DC's newest crack at... The world of cinema, they've had some financial success, maybe not so much critical success.
There's been some highs and lows.
Highs and
I think it's safe to say
that's yes, it's been divisive.
Correct.
So what I thought I'd do for this one is go back in time.
Ooh.
To one of DC's earlier forays into film. This movie, I guess, is not divisive. It's definitively not divisive. This is a movie that I've often derided without seeing it.
Right.
I use it as a punchline. Oh, how about this movie? But now I have seen it and I can use it as a punchline.
Jurassic Park?
With impunity, because it's pretty bad.
It's not Jurassic Park?
It's not, but it's of a similar era. It's 1997 Steel.
Oh my God.
Featuring... Shaquille O'Neal as in the titular role of John Henry Irons Steel, the armored superhero.
This is one of those movies that I have also never seen. I'm interested to hear what you can tell me about it without me having to do any of the actual watching.
Well, that's the goal here.
Fantastic.
Look, so this came out in 1997. So this was the same year as Batman and Robin.
Right, of course. Do you know if this is first?
No.
Do you know if these are connected?
They're not. Well, here's the thing. They're not connected. Well,
missed opportunity, I feel.
Well, I read a while back somebody was saying, well, this was intended to tie into the Nicolas Cage Superman movie.
Oh, right. So this would have come after Superman Lives, where Superman dies and then other Supermen appear?
Well, maybe, but the actual movie itself, when you watch it, it's clear that Superman and Batman are fictional characters in this universe.
Do they appear in comic book stands?
No, but somebody is referred to as Robin, and at one point we go to an arcade and there's a Batman Forever arcade game.
Okay.
And also Shaquille O'Neal has a Man of Steel Superman tattoo on his bicep.
Like John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Turk from Scrubs.
I mean, I assume that Shaquille O'Neal's S-Shield is as large as Henry Cavill's, the one on his chest.
Sure.
Because he's a huge man. But, I mean, I guess you could be like, well, if Superman exists in the universe, people would get Superman tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely a universe in which Superman is fictional.
Great.
Which is, I feel a missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah, when I said great, I mean, that's bad. But at the same time, what does it matter? Both of these things killed their own franchises.
And look, here's the thing. This has 16% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
some people like it.
Some people like it. Hmm. Look, it's the thing about it is it's not good, certainly. That's number one.
Right.
again, a movie that came out in the same year Batman and Robin's, in terms of cinematography and costuming and special effects, like, it is light years away from that. Like,
right.
It feels like it feels like a pilot to one of those generic sci-fi TV shows of that era.
Okay.
Like, it looks kind of washed out. Like, it looks kind of like a Super Force or a Viper or a Mantis.
Or that Justice League TV series that
It feels a lot like that. At the same time, watching it now, I'm like, well, this is obviously a bad movie.
Yeah.
But 1997 me, if I saw it in 1997, I might have loved it. I might have hated it too, but I don't know. Like, there's no way of knowing. Like, I might have hated it because they've taken some liberties with, not so much the origin, but they've taken some liberties with, like, the hero, like the suit,
right,
and you know the costume and what have you, but at the same time, like, it's kind of got a good heart to it, this movie.
Okay.
And the special effects are fine, and you know
it's a TV special effects, or is it like a little bit above that?
It's a little bit above that, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you had to compare it to something, would you say the special effects are similar to Kurt Russell's Soldier?
Worse than that.
Okay, then. Now we know where the benchmark
is. Yeah, that's
is.
Right. We found the benchmark that everybody knows.
That should be Soldier we do every week. Is it better or worse than Kurt Russell's Soldier?
Soldier, yeah.
Which I also haven't seen, maybe.
Great.
I don't remember.
So for anybody who doesn't know, Shaquille O'Neal plays John Henry Irons.
Right.
And he's in the army. He's an engineer. Mm. He's a man who designs non-lethal weapons. Or at least he says he is. Like, the first weapon we see him using is like a rifle, and it's got a laser that can cut through like tank treads. And then it's got a secondary barrel that can like shoot fireballs.
So this is non-lethal in the sense if you don't point it at a person, it might not kill them.
And even if you don't point it at a person,
that's
it might
more lethal
kill them.
Than most guns.
Well, anyway, he's got that. So anyway, he's maybe he didn't build it because he's part of a 3-man team, right?
Right.
So it's him.
Mm-hmm.
The second man is a lady called Sparky,
right?
Who's played by Annabeth Gish. Who
don't know?
No, well, you might know her as Agent Reyes from that season of the X-Files that nobody watched or liked.
I know, I do know her. Actually,
yeah.
You're right.
So she's in this. She's the best friend, and she's also like the will they or won't they kind of romance. Spoiler alert: they won't. But it like there's so many moments where you're like, are they gonna get together? But they just never do.
Maybe they cut out that amazing subplot, and we'll get the Steel Ultimate Edition extended cut.
Oh, we can
cut.
Only hope on the Blu-ray.
That's
but they
right.
do this. They don't high five like whenever something good happens. Like, they test a weapon and it works. Like, they blow those tank treads off with their non-lethal weapon, and they're like, yeah, we did it. And they like touch fingers ET style.
That's weird.
Like, and it's also weird because he's a giant.
I was going to say because he's enormous.
Mm.
Is that because he'd break every bone in her hand if they high five?
Almost certainly. Yeah.
Good Lord.
And the third man on the team is, spoiler alert, the villain is going to be the villain of the piece. And it's Judd Nelson.
Yes!
The bad boy of the Breakfast Club, Judd Nelson. And you can just imagine him as a villain of any kind. You know what I mean?
How 90s is he?
He's not the most 90s person in this movie, but this is a very 90s movie.
Sure.
We'll get to some stuff. Like, there's elements that are quite, it feels quite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right, right.
Like, and you go, where you go, oh, that's very 90s.
Yeah.
Mm. So anyway, so they're at a weapons testing.
Is this a kids movie?
No, maybe. No, I guess in the sense that like Batman and Robin is a kids
movie.
Right. Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Certainly not good enough for adults. I don't know. But anyway, so they're at like this, they're at this like abandoned town, which they're using as like a weapons testing facility.
Okay.
And there's like senators and generals and stuff there, right? And the next weapon they're going to test is like this non-lethal, I'm using air quotes, sonic cannon, right?
Right.
And like there's this lady senator there, and she's like, and Judd Nelson comes up to her and he's like, you think you like our weapons? You think they're real impressive? You think they're We can crank them right up. We pump them right up. What do you reckon about that? And she's like, oh yeah, you pump these weapons right up, huh? And he gets the sonic cannon. There's like there's a switch on it.
Right.
But it's like a
it says
like,
right up on it.
Yeah, it's like a DJ mixer, like
right.
a volume control. It's just a slider, and it's got like
sounds really loose. Like you could easily
it's really
knock that.
Loose. Like it's not even a clicky clicky. It's one of the ones that just goes up and down, and it's got like the green, yellow, red lights on it,
right.
so you know where it's
going.
Like
you
could accidentally if you lent it on something, it would go right up.
Yeah.
So like he's like, I've got this one, and he cranks it up like real high.
Yeah.
And then Shaquille O'Neal sees him, he's about to fire it on, you know, super high, and he's like, no, and he leaps for him, but then he fires the gun, and it like, instead of like knocking a door down, it like blows a whole building up, and then the shockwave reverberates back, and it like blows out the wall of the building they're in, and it like crushes the senator to death, and it like crushes Sparky's legs. Like, it just, like, it crashes on her. And Shaquille's like, no! And he lifts this, like, concrete wall up. Here's the thing, one of the things that is different from the comic book.
Yeah.
Like, in the Steel comic book, Steel's armor is like a mechanized suit. It's like
right,
a power
it's like
armor.
An Iron Man kind of thing. Yeah,
but in this, it's just a suit of armor. It's like a
knight would
wear.
Yeah,
like a medieval.
Or a dumbass in the modern day.
Like a dumbass, exactly. But in this, it's just implied he has superhuman strength.
Right.
So he's just lifting this gigantic slab of concrete.
Sparky's all right, though, yeah?
No, she's paralyzed.
Oh, no.
The senator's dead, and she's paralyzed, and then Judd, we very quickly go to like a court-martialing scene,
yeah.
And the judge is like, Judd Nelson, you killed so many people, you can't be in the army anymore, right? And so he goes, and Sparky goes to hospital, then Shaquille O'Neal's like, I'm out of the army, I'm not doing this anymore, General, I'm quitting this, and General, right. The general's like, all right, off you
is
go.
Is he going to go and like go to the streets and teach kids how to whatever?
Well, he goes back to LA,
right.
Where his grandmother lives.
That's nice.
Yeah, so he goes back, and simultaneously, Judd Nelson is also going back.
Is he angry at Judd Nelson? He's like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he is.
You killed that senator we didn't know.
Yeah, there's a scene like in the after the court martial, and they have some words, and then like,
what's the height difference like there?
Ah, it's significant. Meters. It's significant. Somebody's Judd Nelson standing on a box, and it's still significant.
Right, right.
And then Judd Nelson's like, well, you're a dumb. And then he
stops.
Yeah, because there's only one word.
Right.
He could conceivably use that would have the impact that he requires, but you can't do that in like a PG film.
Absolutely
so,
not.
Anyway, they go their separate ways, but it turns out they're going the same way, right? And so Shaquille O'Neal goes back to LA, right, where his grandmother lives, and he shows up back in his neighborhood. Here's the thing. Here's the point where I feel that this movie, like, it's still bad, but here's the point where I'm like, this movie's actually kind of fun.
Right.
Where he shows up and there's like this kid called, it's Martin. So
right.
This little kid called Martin, who might be his brother or his little brother or his cousin, or maybe he's just a neighborhood kid. But anyway, he's played by Ray.
Is he a good kid?
He's a good kid.
Good.
But maybe he could get into a little trouble later.
Right.
But maybe he could sort of do that, but he's not really in the movie. So if I forget that he's in it and I don't mention him for the rest of this thing, it doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
Anyway, he's played by Ray J, who you might know from having sex with Kim Kardashian in that video.
Right, yeah, that is something
yeah.
that I do remember.
Anyway, Shaquille O'Neal shows up at his grandma's house, and his grandmother has a delightful subplot where she keeps trying to make a souffle and it keeps collapsing on her. Like through the whole movie. It happens multiple times in this movie. And there's this running gag where nobody can talk around the souffle.
Right.
Because apparently if you make too much noise around a souffle, it collapses.
Is the sonic cannon come into play later with the souffle?
You'd think so, but it doesn't.
Oh,
there's a lot of things you'd think would happen, but then they don't happen.
Right. Does she make the perfect souffle? I don't want to jump ahead.
Spoiler alert, she does.
Great.
And everybody bloody loves it. In the denouement, which right. is the bit after the last bit.
I know what a denouement is.
Okay, good. So anyway, so Judd Nelson also. So he's taking the bus. He's taking the bus to LA, but Judd Nelson's taking a first class flight to LA.
So Steele's not rich anymore?
I don't think he was ever rich.
But Judd Nelson is rich or continues
well,
to be rich?
Well, he's got some nice leather coats. That some 1990s nice. Leather
yeah,
car
like that.
Coats. So
yeah, good.
He's a little bit rich. So anyway, he shows up to this like this high-rise skyscraper, right? And he shows up to the most 90s man there is. He's like, he's got this massive double-breasted like beige suit, and he's got this greasy blonde mullet, and he shows up and he's like, hey, old friend, how about we make some weapons and we sell them together? And this guy's
oh.
like, hey, man, I'm just a guy that makes arcade games. Don't put that on me, man. And then he's like, no, I know what's up, right? And so they go down in the basement where this guy, he's distributing arcade games, but what he's also doing is putting like machine guns and rocket launchers and stuff
in the cabinets.
In the cabinets, and then presumably dispersing them
to smuggle them, or are they weaponized arcade cabinets?
Oh no, to smuggle them.
Okay, right.
But which is odd because like, is he sending them to like Cuba?
Yeah,
or like
Iraq? North Korea or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But and also, they're just like, if you watch it, he's just like, they're not like packing him in like straw or like bubble wrap or whatever.
Yeah.
They're just sort of hanging him loosely in there. There's like, he puts like an M16, he's just hanging it by the strap, and then he just closes the door.
That'll do it.
That'll do it, exactly. And anyway, they're like, this is what we do, all right? And then he's like, okay, well, here's some plans for these weapons. We're going to get them out onto the streets kind of thing.
Right.
Right. And so Basically,
where's the money in this for Judd Nelson?
Well, we'll soon find out.
Okay, sure.
Don't assume.
I'm sorry.
Don't assume everybody in this movie is an idiot. It's just most people in this movie are idiots. So then Shaquille O'Neal, they've got character names, but I'm just going to call them.
Not interested. I know he's John Henry Irons.
Yeah.
But
so anyway, Shaq catches up with his family friend, who's a lady cop, and they're just going like on a ride along.
Right.
But then as they're doing this ride along, they see.
Has he got his head out the top of the car like a giraffe? Yes. He's an enormous man.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
No, please. But then they see this robbery happen. Basically, what happens is this Hummer drives up to near a bank, and then the Sonic cannon comes out and just sort of blows out the whole front facade of the bank. And then somebody puts like a rifle out and then like lasers through the bank, because they've already blown up the front of the bank.
Sure.
So they just laser.
Like a hole.
Oh, through the bank vault. Mm. And then they all just charge in and like start robbing the bank.
This is all non-lethal, I assume.
Yeah, except for the lasers and the blowing
up
of everything.
Yeah,
exactly right. And then so they all, you know, grab the money and take off, except for one guy who's just merrily just in there, just stealing more money out of the bank kind of thing, right?
So they're all leaving and he's like, I got time.
Yeah, I got more stuff to do. Anyway, he leaves last, and then Shaq chases after him in what I consider the slowest action sequence of all time. Because imagine, here's the thing, this is something I didn't think of until right at the end. Like, everybody in Hollywood, like every celebrity in Hollywood's like 5'6" or something.
Yeah.
So all the stuntmen are also like 5'6".
Right, right. And they're easy to cover.
Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal is like 7'2".
Yeah.
There's no 7'2" stuntman.
No.
So he has to do all this himself. So he's just sort of...
just an athlete,
ambling.
Isn't he?
Yeah, I guess. But he's not the fastest, is he?
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, that's the thing I forgot to say. The thing that I forgot to say about earlier, why I was on board with this movie earlier, is when he arrives in the neighborhood first, one of the kids, like he goes past a basketball court, and one of the kids throws him a basketball. And he's like, hey, get in there. Throw the basketball. And he's like, sure, no problem, kid. And he throws the free throw and he misses by a lot. And I'm like, all right, he's got a sense of humor about himself. Okay, that's pretty good.
Well, he played a rapping genie. I think
that's
he's pretty easy going.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's true. Where were we? I've forgotten. Oh, yeah. So he chases him through this rail yard.
Yeah.
And again, there's some superhuman strength. At one point, he just rips like the door out of the gate out of a chain link fence. Just chucks it.
Like it's nothing.
Yeah. But anyway, they're going through this rail yard as all the trains are shunting.
I liken this to a much worse version of the chase from Casino Royale at the start.
Oh, it absolutely is, yeah. Anyway, so he's chasing this one guy, right? They're trying to build this sense of danger because all these trains are shunting, like, and it's kind of like this cat and mouse game between him and this guy.
Whoa.
Except the trains are shunting at like 1 mile an hour. Because you got to move them slow, man.
But Shaq's going about 1 mile.
Yeah, exactly.
Hour, so
that's right. Yeah,
there's that element of danger.
So he chases a guy. He doesn't get any info out of him.
Oh,
But
he knows. He's like, I recognize those weapons.
Yeah, and there's a brief thing happens in a bar where he confronts the gang, and they're like, "You get out of here, man. We'll shoot you because you're not an indestructible man in an iron suit. So we could just shoot you here." And then he leaves. And then what he does is he's like, "Well, I've got to." Be on equal footing with these gangs.
I've got to be smart about this.
Figure out what's going on. And then he calls up the general and he's like, hey, general, there are these guys. They're using our weapons or whatever. And the general's like, you're crazy, Shaq. What would you... And he's like, no, seriously, it's these guns that I built. The copies. And he's like, no, I don't... You don't know what you... Anyway, you're on your own, mate. I don't know what to... And then Shaq just smashes the phone box, which I feel is a very, very 90s thing.
Oh, it's a public phone.
It's a public phone.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. But like, it's not like he's a kid going like, there's ghosts in the house. He's like, you know how I'm a professional weapons designer and I built these unique weapons that you can't get anywhere
else.
And you
know that about me.
Anyway, it's great. Great stuff. So anyway, he's like, but I've got to build these weapons. I've got to get on equal footing with these guys. So I've got to put the team back together, right? So he goes to the hospital where Sparky is.
Right.
And she's in a wheelchair. And she's just staring out, like forlornly out the window. And she's like, oh, I can't.
She's lost her spark.
Yeah, I don't want to get out of there. And then Shaquille's like, what are you going to look at these dirty windows all day?
You dumbass.
Not happening. And he just smashes the windows out of this recuperation hospital.
This guy's just breaking public property.
And then he's
so
like,
brazen.
I'm getting you out of here when we're gonna do this. And so he just lifts her up via the wheelchair. She's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He just lifts her up via the wheelchair and like marches her out of the hospital. And the whole thing.
Has Shaq never seen a wheelchair?
Does he
think wheelchairs are regular chairs?
Maybe he knows. Maybe he knows what a wheelchair is, but he doesn't know you can switch the brakes.
Right.
So he's taking her out of there, and the whole crowd, everybody else in the hospital is like, "Woo, yeah!" Like this was meant for the final scene because you know it's kind of that. It feels like part of a romantic comedy where you're carrying
the officer and a gentleman.
Yeah, but it's in the wrong spot. And she's like, stop doing this, please. Anyway, so he takes her to the perfect place for them, for her to recuperate and then for them to work on their teamwork, a junkyard.
Of course.
And it's a junkyard run.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
By his Uncle Joe, played by Richard Roundtree, Shaft.
Yes,
he's in here. Yeah, he's in this as well. He's like, okay, so we're gonna work on this from here. And he's like, just so you know, I've made everything comfortable for you. He opens a door and there's a bathroom and a toilet and he's put like the accessible rail on it. And he's like, huh? How about that?
He's always been very considerate, man. Yeah, Richard Roundtree.
Then they set to work building like there's a montage. There's a multi-purpose montage because Uncle Joe's like, hey, I can, you know what, everything falls off the back of a truck and, you know, I can get it in this junkyard.
He knows.
Thing, right? And so he builds this, Shaq builds the suit. Oh, there's like a moment where she falls out of a chair.
Right.
But then she gets back up on her own.
Good.
It's very moving.
Getting it together.
They're both Uncle Joe and Shaq are just like, no, we won't help.
Yeah, should we help?
No. Nah, should we?
It's the only way she'll learn.
Only way she'll learn. Yeah, exactly.
And then do they touch fingers?
No, because she doesn't know. They were watching her and not helping.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess yeah. That you'd be pretty annoyed.
Anyway, he builds the suit and she builds the steel hammer.
Oh, he does have the hammer. Right.
So and then they're like, okay, let's take this out for a test run. They go out at night and there's a very well-to-do couple that have come out of the opera presumably, and there's like a guy with a mullet and a knife.
They got a
like,
kid with him?
No, they don't.
It's not.
No, you wouldn't. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That'd be good if that was in canon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyways, he's like, give me all your money or whatever. They hand over the money and then he goes around the corner and Shaq comes out in the steel armor and he's like, that's bad manners in this town. How about this?
It's bad manners in any town.
And you see him in the armor and he looks ridiculous.
I know the mask is very ill-fitting.
Yeah, look, here's the thing about it is that it's not that the design is bad.
Yeah.
It's that the proportions are bad.
Right.
And that's Shaq's fault, ultimately, for being a monster of a man. But, like, it needs... Like, he's huge and he's, like, built and he's whatever.
Yeah.
But it's kind of all legs, narrow... Compared to his legs, he's got quite narrow shoulders.
Right.
It needs a cape.
Like, right.
It's the kind of thing that it needs broader shoulders, like, built-up shoulders or a cape. Because he looks kind of...
Like a box, like a fridge?
No, not even like a fridge,
like a triangle.
Like he narrows towards the top.
So was this in the era, this was in the era where they'd taken the Superman symbol off Steel's...
Yes, it was.
Steel
yeah.
in the comics.
So he has
Did
no
he have
S.
a cape in the comics at this point?
Yes, he kept the cape.
Okay.
He kept the red cape. He took off the S. And I guess I kind of understand that because you want to be like, you want...
I'm your own man.
Yeah, exactly. You want him to be your own man. You don't want him to be a spin-off.
Yeah.
You want him to be like, well, this guy stands on his own. Could have done with the cape.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so he gets the guy can't knife him, whatever. So he gets the
guy tries to knife him.
I can't remember. Anyway.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. So, and he gets the wallet and he lumbers back to the couple that have been robbed and he's like, here you go. And they're like, oh, that was very nice of you kind of thing.
They're not scared of Shaq. They're not like, what?
No, they should be.
Yeah.
Because he's terrifying.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then the cops show up and he's like, oh, I got to get out of here kind of thing.
And
but,
he slowly lumbers away. Well,
he lumbers for a while. Then he's like, okay, I got to get away. But he's got a grappling hook gun.
Yes.
Like he's got a grappling hook.
Of course he does.
Can't fly.
Right.
Disappointing.
Yeah, he needs his buddy jet boots, doesn't he? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Could have done with jet boots.
Wow.
But anyway, grappling hooks up to the rooftops. He lumbers across the rooftops. He nearly falls to his death a couple of times. He gets back to the ground. He gets to his steel motorcycle. Because he's got a motorcycle in this. I don't know if you remember. He's got a motorcycle.
I do not remember.
Well, he's got a motorcycle. And then he leads the cops on a merry chase. He goes back to the junkyard. And there's like a flip-down doorway so he can go in real quick.
Oh,
I
see.
There's a flip-up pile of junk.
Oh, I see.
That he can drive into that. And then the flips down and then the police helicopters can't find him.
It's his version of the Batcave, but
it's
in a junk place.
And Sparky helps out. She's got she can change the traffic lights, so he gets a good run on the traffic lights.
She's his oracle, basically.
Yeah. She's got a rangefinder in the armor so she can go, don't leap across that building because it's too far. And he does
it incredibly
anyway.
Slow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a jump you'll never make.
Exactly. He's weighing 400 pounds in the suit.
Oh, my God. And that's unassisted.
Yeah, right?
Like, it's not mechanized.
It's not powered, exactly, yeah.
That would encumber him, if anything.
You know it, right?
Yeah, I do know it.
Yeah. So the next night, this gang of robbers who have been given these weapons by Judd Nelson.
Yeah, he's trouble.
They're like, okay, now it's time to rob the Los Angeles Federal Reserve. And so they go in.
Gold bars, right?
Yeah, you don't really see. It's just money. It's just general money. They rob the place. Steel shows up again. They shoot down a helicopter. They blow up some trucks.
How's that look?
The blowing up the helicopter looks pretty good.
Great.
Steel saves the life of a diehard style kind of cop who's surprised at everything. You know, there's always one. You know, the guy, he's the Family Matters guy.
Yeah, I know.
It's not the exact Family Matters guy, but it's
close enough.
It's who they could get.
Right,
anyway,
sure.
He pushes him out of the way of the...
Do they form a friendship from that?
Yeah, maybe they do.
Okay, then.
So anyway, he pushes him out of the exploding helicopter. The exploding helicopter looks pretty good. Like,
all
it's
right.
A solid... I don't know how they did it, but it's pretty great.
Wait for the Blu-ray.
Anyway, but, you know, they've got all the hot guns and whatever.
Yeah.
So they escape.
Mm.
He's like, ooh, and it turns out they videotaped the whole thing. Like, the bad guys videotaped the whole thing, right? Anyway, so Steel's like, oh, you know, we'll get him next time. And then he... You know, dumps the arm or whatever. And he goes back to his grandma's house. She's still making the souffle. It's
How's
still
that
not
going?
Working.
It's not the moment?
It's not going well. And then, like, somebody in a black outfit just crashes through a window. Just smashes through. And then it turns out it's the cops who are just smashing through windows now, apparently.
Are they after Shaq?
They're after Shaq.
Because they think he did the helicopter stuff.
Well, yeah, because they're like, look, there's all this stuff blowing up and all these weapons and there's a 7-foot-tall man in an iron suit and you're literally the only 7-foot-tall man in this city, so we think it's you. And then one cop shows up and is like, I found this in the basement, and it's like one of the guns. And he's like, I've been set up kind of thing.
Well, so, this has taken a turn. I thought, woof.
Yeah, right?
I'm
exactly.
Nervous.
So then Steel is sent to jail, right?
Yep.
And then they put him in the police lineup, right?
Oh.
And they're like, they bring in the couple. You know, he saved their wallets or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, who is it? And they're like, we don't know who it is.
Yeah,
he was
nice.
Very good, right? And then they bring in the cop.
Yeah.
Who you know, he's saved from the helicopter. And they're like, who is it? And he's like, oh, he's wearing a mask. I don't
know.
Who's
to say?
Oh,
so no witnesses.
No witnesses. So, but he's still in there because, you know, the lineups don't count for
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah, you can see most of his face.
Right.
There's a point earlier in the film that I forgot about where there's some gangbangers and they've got machine guns shooting out of the car. And he's just like, ha, 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 ha. Ah, nothing's going to hurt me. And I'm like, your hands aren't covered, your face.
Very exposed.
All the joins, what are they made of? You know what I mean? Like, that's how you can tell it's a 90s movie, just as well as the guns they've put in the arcade cabinet. Also,
you can't do an Iron Man style suit.
In a modern day movie, like the person in his earpiece would have gone, cover your mouth.
Idiot.
Because you'll be killed otherwise. Also, another sign of a 90s movie, there is a moment where... Like, he's lumbering around in the suit, and there's a wino there just who's like, what?
Quit drinking?
And then he looks at the drink, and he's like, no, thank you.
That's
no.
I want to know the exact movie where that went away. I'd love to know.
And the movie
know.
Where it started.
Yeah.
So, well,
might be a Bond film.
No, I don't know, maybe. So he's still in jail, but then Sparky helps out because she uses her hacking skills to like forge the mayor's signature and like fake the mayor's voice print on in a phone call. Okay. And then she faxes over a lease right. on the fax.
I was like, how is this? How are they? Okay.
And then he's like, I'm out of here. Whatever, right? At this point, the footage of all the weapons being used, like all the fireball guns and the lasers and the sonic cannon or whatever, that's been all over the news. Mm. And so there's a montage of all these terrorists and hate groups like watching it on the news going,
interesting.
We could do with some of those
weapons. So it's just the two weapons.
Well, there's three. There's the laser gun.
Yeah.
There's the
sonic cannon.
There's this fireball thing.
All right.
It's pretty vague. Sure. May as well just be a bullet. I mean, it's the same.
Good as any.
So there's a scene where there's just like Nazis and they're like, oh, it's pretty good.
Nazis where?
Well, they speak an American accent, so I assume
so
Los
they're
Angeles.
Neo-Nazis,
they're Los Angeles neo-Nazis, right, okay. Yeah. And there's like just like Arab terrorists just like, very good.
This
and
is
like,
what we're about.
And like, yeah, exactly. Right. And yeah, so that's the plan is Judd Nelson's like, well, you see these in action.
Yeah.
This is a classic plan, I feel. You see them in action and then you just auction them off to the highest bidder kind of thing, right?
That's not terrible. That's not a terrible idea.
So Steele's like, he's going to sell these weapons. We know Judd Nelson. We know he's going to sell them. How's he going to do it? And Sparky's like, he's going to do it through the internet.
Yes!
Because it's the 90s and nobody understood what the internet was, right? And so she's presumably hacked the internet. And she's, I'll find it for you. Hang on. I took a screen grab of it.
Fantastic.
Like, this looks very good. So this is the internet. This is a movie featuring the internet before anybody knew what the internet could do.
Right, right.
So the internet was basically magic. So she's found like that there's going to be an auction of all these weapons. And it's just like, it's not on the dark. It's not on the dark web. Maybe not even a web page. It's just like a PowerPoint or something.
Yeah,
and it's just like sale starts in 11 hours, and then just pictures of these weapons, and it says like, own the most powerful weapon on earth. Something, something. Can't read it.
It looks like something somebody's made in Word and then screenshotted and then put on the net.
To find out how to get yours, keep watching this page. Right. Because and she's like, they haven't said where they're gonna
be.
Do it, right? And then so there's a period of time something happens. I can't remember. Maybe the kid's involved or the grandma. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Who cares?
Souffle shenanigans.
Right. And then it's like, oh, it's gonna happen at this warehouse. Like it pops up. It's gonna happen at this warehouse. And at this point, like in a modern movie, you'd be like, or if you or I found out there was a web page saying there was gonna be some sort of illegal weapon bust happening, you'd just be like, you just call the cops.
That's what I would do.
But this is the world where. This nobody understands how the internet works.
And the cops don't like Shaq. They don't like what
cops
he's about.
Cops don't like Shaq. They don't have the internet. Because it's 1997 and like two people had the internet. So they can't call. So Shaq's like, I'll handle this, right? And so he shows up at the warehouse.
I was hoping you would.
Yeah, exactly. And the one of the bad guys there and he like sonic cannons Shaq. And Shaq like is hit and he flies into the warehouse and he lands like on the podium where Judd Nelson is like auctioning off these weapons.
Ah.
And he's like, ah-ha-ha, Shaq, I've got you.
So Shaq's not like, my organs are scrambled.
No, he's
what
fine.
Kind of metal is this? We didn't really get into that.
Steel.
Of course.
Yeah, I think it's implied. So, and then Judd Nelson grabs his hammer and he's like, I've got all your weapons, Steel, you can't.
Does he use the hammer much?
Oh, he uses it a little. It's got some stuff in it. Like, he uses it...
Does it, like, shoot shurikens or something?
It shoots all the weapons that the bad guys have.
Oh, I see.
Like, I should have mentioned that earlier.
Nah.
Look, no, okay, so it's got, like, the laser.
Right.
Which he uses at some point to, like, evade the cops because he shoots, like, a water truck. Like, he cuts one open. He causes a lot of property damage. And then slipping and sliding or whatever. And he nearly kills the guy who owns the water truck. Anyway, and it's got, like, he can fall the robbers. He's got, like, he's got a tear gas grenade. He's got, like, the fireball cannon.
Okay.
He's got all the stuff. He's got the sonic. The sonic's in there.
That's good.
He's got an
electric. Does it all come out the top?
No, it all comes out the. He doesn't really use the hammer for any hammering. Mm. It all comes out like the end.
Okay.
The bottom bit.
Okay.
And it's got, and I should mention this because it's going to come up, it's got like an electromagnet in it. So
right.
At one point he's like fighting the gangbangers and he fires up the electromagnet and it magnets itself to his chest.
Yeah.
And then it magnets all their weapons away. And then he's like, all the weapons are attached. It's kind of fun.
That's quite cool.
And he's like, I got you guys kind of thing, right? Anyway, so Judd Nelson's got the thing, right?
Yeah.
He's got the hammer. And he's like, I'm gonna auction off all these weapons. I'm gonna kill you. And also, I've got Sparky. I've got her. She's here too.
Oh, no.
I've kidnapped her.
They probably traced her through the internet.
Exactly. I've got her and that kid from earlier. Got him. I've got all of them. They're all here.
Get the grandma?
No, grandma's fine. Yeah. Uncle Joe's out somewhere. I think he's fine too.
Sure.
Good. Yeah. Anyway, so then Steel's like, your weapons haven't got nothing on my weapons.
Right.
Mine's better than yours. And Judd Nelson's like, no, it isn't. And Shaq's like, no, it is. Hold it, crack it open and have a look. And he's like, oh, okay. And he's looking at it. And he's like, but whatever you do, don't push the red switch on there because it's too powerful. And you know you like things that are too powerful. That's what got us in this mess in the first place. But don't do it because it's too powerful if you push that button.
And Judd Nelson, not being an idiot, does not press the button.
No, he's like, I'll show you, Steel. And he pushes the thing and it activates the electromagnet.
Nice.
And then Steel's got his bloody... He's got his hammer back.
Yes.
He's like, now I'm going to get you. And Sparky's like, now I'm bloody get you as well, because she's built all sorts of guns into her wheelchair, right? She's got the fireball gun. She's got the laser. She's got the sonic.
She's got the three guns.
She's got jet-powered a wheelchair.
Right.
How did nobody notice when they frisked her on the way in? I'll never know.
I'll also never know.
Yeah, right? And then...
So then it's on for young and old?
It's on for young and old. There's all sorts of... blasting or whatever,
yeah.
And then at one point Steel and Ray J they try and go to escape, and one of the henchmen like throws a hand grenade like into the door, and then he closes the door, so they're trapped in this room,
right?
And there's a hand grenade there, and Ray J picks up the grenade and goes, Steel, you gotta throw the grenade, you've gotta free throw the grenade, right? And there's like some
wait, is this real? Is this part real?
This part is real. Okay. Maybe I've made some of this up, but maybe it's all real. But anyway, there's like a basketball hoop's width of like a hole in the chain link fence above them at the exact height a basketball ring would be. And he's like, I don't know. I'm not very good at this. I choke up. Whatever. Meanwhile, it's been like 30 seconds.
Right.
How long?
Well, they need that time because the audience is laughing raucously.
That's probably true. Like how long do you think a fuse on a grenade is?
Like 6 seconds,
something
I'm
like
saying.
That, right?
I have no
but
idea.
It's been like 30 seconds. They're like, whoa, they're hot potato in this grenade. And then Chuck's like, okay, and he throws the grenade through, and he nails it.
Of course he does.
He hits the rim. Like it's not nothing but net.
Oh right,
there's some net.
But it still goes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the end of Teen Wolf.
Yeah, it's like Teen Wolf. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that blows up. Then they're like, okay, we got. And then Judd Nelson comes out and he's like, I'm gonna kill you, Steel, or whatever. And then he shoots him with a laser, and the laser bounces off him.
Refraction.
Reflects off Steel, and it hits Judd Nelson right in his guts, and he goes flying into some oil drums, and they explode, and like part of the building explodes, and then like a truck explodes, and it all falls on him, and he's super dead. And they're like, yes, because it's classic 90s.
You can't have a villain be killed by
the hero, but he can kill himself.
Yeah.
So that's pretty great. Anyway, they all escape.
Yeah. Now this is a kid's movie.
Yeah. The good guys, they all get out of here. Sparky jets her way out on a jet.
Can she fly or just jet real fast?
No, she can just jet real fast. It's okay. Real wonky looking.
That sounds
no good.
Very unsafe.
Yeah. Anyway, he calls up the general using his voice translator and makes himself like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's like, you know, tells him what's happened. And
wait,
he's like,
wait,
yes,
like Arnold.
He's got a voice modulator that makes him sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
To what end?
It's just funny. It's just the audience laughing raucously.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he's like, and you'll never see me again or whatever, right? And he's like, okay, cool, good stuff. And then
that's fine.
Yeah. And then we go, we smash cut.
Yeah.
To the opening of Grandma's restaurant. She's opening a restaurant. It's a mix of African-American cooking and like cordon bleu French stuff.
Together at last.
And she's there and she's got the souffles and they're real good.
Yes.
And then they're like, what do you think of this Steel character? And she's like, he's the best. He's my hero. If he was my grandson, I'd love him.
I'd be awful proud.
Yeah. And Steel's like, I'm proud of all of you as well. And I'm proud of you, Sparky. And she's like, well, what do you reckon about this? And she pushes a button on her wheelchair and it sort of lifts her up, like mounts her up, like she's sort of standing up. So she's
fantastic.
So she's sort of at like Steel's height.
When you say Steel's height, you obviously mean like his balls.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, like like shoulder height or whatever.
Right.
But she's standing up there and everybody's like, whoa, and they're like so close together.
Yep.
And then they hug. And it's not there's no
Well sometimes people can just be friends. That's okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Is it what Steel wanted?
Yeah, it seems that way.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, you can't have everything. That's the end of the movie. That John Nelson's dead.
And I guess that's the main takeaway, isn't it?
Isn't it though? Yeah.
So, okay.
What have we learned here is the question.
Well, look, nothing, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
And this was also in the time when after the comic continued after this, they put the Superman S back on him.
They put the Superman S back. Well, here's the thing. Like, they put the Superman S back on him and they kind of made him much more of a like an intellectual.
Right.
And like a... And I thought
is he a construction worker in the... In the comics?
Yes, he is.
Right.
So he's a weapons designer turned construction worker. He's also a construction worker in this. I forgot to mention it. It doesn't matter.
I need to let you know that this was made on a budget of $16 million.
Yes.
And it made $1.7 million.
That's less.
That's significantly less.
Isn't
yes.
it though? Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because this is that had all the classic 90s stuff.
That's a good question. Like, honestly, it's not... Like, it's dumb,
yeah.
But everything from this era is dumb.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not worse than Batman and Robin.
Right.
It just costs less money. Okay. I reckon it's just a marketing thing.
Right.
I reckon they were like, our big tentpole is Batman and Robin. Who cares about anything else?
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Hmm.
But they both failed horribly and killed both of these franchises in unison.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, thank God DC have united and they're moving forward stronger than ever.
Isn't it, though?
Don't you feel that way?
I feel that way.
Would you recommend this for anybody?
Maybe. Give it 5 minutes and see how you go.
I'm going to give it no minutes.
Okay then, great.
But I'm glad, it's one of those things, I'm glad it exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks, Mason. That was a great retelling of that movie that sucks.
Thank you.
It's good to be here. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. Okay, grab that gem, you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.